guys, we're back. It's a Hiddleston week this week, and we are doing Loki episode one, the series.
Yeah, and you sound a little under the weather.
I am a little under the weather. I am just grateful I am not a little under the dirt.
So, well, that's true. Yes.
So yes, I do not feel well. I am all stuffy and yucky, and so if I sound a little unconcerned, that's probably why. It's not that I'm not interested in the material we're discussing. It's just that I feel like shit.
That's funny. I was listening to a podcast that I really like called Morbid.
Morbid, yes.
Yeah, I guess you heard them. Yeah, one of them was like, a lot of people were saying I sounded bored. I wasn't bored. I was just sick. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love Morbid. It's a very awesome podcast.
Yeah.
They did, the one that we were listening to was Albert Fish, which was...
That was a four-part episode.
And it was very disturbing. Guys, if you... I love Morbid to death, but yeah, they had decided they were going to kind of step away from the deep, intense, serious... after doing Albert Fish, which is something they need to do, because he's a... He's definitely a subject in
yeah.
Serious chaos.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a true crime aficionado, you probably are somewhat familiar with it. But yeah, they went really in depth. So
yeah, and I feel sorry for those girls. I'm sure Albert Fish is going to haunt them forever.
Yeah.
After doing all the research and the study that they did on him. But anyway, let's get back to some better things. Loki the series, first Marvel series ever to be promised a season two.
Yes.
And the reason I say that is because it was supposed to start filming this year, mm-hmm. and then it got pushed back again, so they're probably not going to start filming until 2023.
And it's, you know, of course, we'd had some Marvel series before on Netflix and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but really this series kind of kicked off the current, you know, the Marvel current, on the TV
right.
kind of thing, the, you know, the, all the streaming stuff on
the
Disney.
What If, the Hawkeye, the...
Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the Winter WandaVision. Soldier.
Yes, all of them.
Yeah.
Was WandaVision first? Or was Loki first?
I think actually it was WandaVision first.
Right.
Yeah, and then Loki. Yeah, you're right. But yeah, this one, you know, it's... I just finished watching the first episode again. The first time I'd seen it in a little while. Now you've seen it like, I don't know, like 60 times.
I've seen it quite a lot. I will binge watch the entire series. It's only 6 episodes, so
yeah.
I'll binge watch the entire series on the nights that I can't sleep sometimes.
And I hope that the second season's longer. I'd like it to be at least 8 episodes.
Yeah.
At least. I'd really like 10.
They shoved a whole lot into those 6 episodes, though.
Yeah.
I think it would have benefited if they'd have stretched it out a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so this one, do you want to kind of start off with the premise of the series?
Okay.
Or what do you want to talk about first?
Well, the premise of the series is fairly simple. Loki gets a hold of the Tesseract and avoids capture. Well, avoids being taken back to Asgard.
Right.
By using the Tesseract to get away from the Avengers.
So this all spins out of Endgame.
No, not Endgame. Spins off of Avengers.
But they go back in time during Endgame.
Right, but you don't know that yet.
Well, we saw that in Endgame.
Yes, but this is before Endgame. This is at the end of the Avengers. This is what I was trying to tell you.
All right, but in Endgame is when they go back in time to the Avengers.
Right.
Which is where Loki splits into the variant,
but this is,
which then leads to the TV
but
series.
But it's at the end of the first Avengers,
that's
not
where,
Endgame.
That's where Loki comes from. But I'm saying that the series gets its birth actually out of Endgame, which is when they go back in time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you. It starts at the end of Avengers, the original Avengers. That's all I'm saying.
For Loki.
Oh, gee, I thought the series was called Loki, not the Avengers.
But what I was saying was we went to the theater, we saw Endgame... We saw Loki disappear with the Tesseract, and we were like, oh, what's going to happen? And then later on, we found out there's going to be a TV series.
So.
Yes.
All right. And it premiered June 9th, 2021, this past year. And I remember the buildup for it. Oh my God, I think everybody, every Loki fan ever, every member of Loki's army ever was glued to their TV and glued to Disney on June 9th. I know I was.
So. Yeah, and the little bit I had heard about the series was that it was going to be kind of involving time travel and him moving around. He would be an agent of the Time Variance Authority. And so I think a lot of people like me kind of assumed maybe we were going to be getting like basically Doctor Who with Loki.
No, that's not
really what we got.
Now, and the series was good. I did appreciate the series. Now, of course, the episode one is essentially just kind of bringing you in and showing you what's going on. A few of the characters that you see recurring throughout the series, of course, Mobius,
mm-hmm.
who is played by Owen Wilson.
Right.
Which I had to double check on that one because he certainly did not look like the cowboy in Night at the Museum.
Well, yeah, he's a little older now, yeah.
Quite a bit, yes. But there again, it's 9 years after the taping of Avengers.
Right.
And of course, Loki does not look the same.
Yeah.
But once again, 9 years. Hey.
Yeah. His hair looks different. Was this his hair or was this a wig?
I don't know. I tried to find out.
Okay.
I tried to find out, but I'm not sure.
Because if it's a wig, I don't think it's a good wig.
You're saying?
I'm saying I don't like how his hair looks in this series.
It's a bit shorter. It's a bit thinner.
Well, and it's just, it looks like, I don't know, I like it when it's sometimes a little wild in the movies, but in this, it looks like he needs to comb it.
Well,
and so if it's a wig, it just looks like, you know, somebody just like leaves it laying around when he's not wearing it. You know.
Anyway. Ravonna.
Ravonna. Who, we'll talk about that. She's a character from the comics, very different from this.
And, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Gugu? G-U-G-U is her first name. Mbatha? M-B-A-T-H-A?
Sounds good to me.
Raw. And, of course, Miss Minutes is voiced by Tara Strong.
Yeah.
He's
done lots and lots of voice work.
Hunter B-15. The big black chick.
Right.
It ends up, being one of the good guys.
Right.
Toward the end of the series. Wunmi Masaku, I believe.
Sounds good to me.
And then, of course, we have to talk about Casey, the front desk agent.
Right, right.
Who doesn't know what a fish is.
Yeah.
Eugene Cordero.
Okay.
And, he plays his part to perfection. He's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen him in anything else, but he's absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What have you got? I'm sorry, the cat is being annoying.
She acts like she's got something. I don't know what it is.
I ain't no telling.
Now,
I could not find a Metacritic rating.
Yeah.
But overall, unfortunately, they do not break down each episode for ratings and that type mm-hmm. of thing. I couldn't even find a budget on this.
Now, I have an app that I use for all my shows, and it gives user ratings for every episode.
Well, okay, but now this is amazing. Rotten Tomatoes gave an unprecedented 92%.
Wow.
For this series. Yeah, that's incredible. I mean.
And I have to admit, I like the show a lot. It's not my favorite of the Disney Marvel shows, though.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. And I'm not trying to be, rude or anything, because I love Hiddleston. I love Loki. He is my favorite Marvel character by far. I just think they could have done a whole lot more with the series than they did.
Yeah. And so this rating here is just from my app, which, has thousands of people who use it. But,
okay.
It's called TV Time. So episode one goes from 1 to 5 stars. 78% of the people who watched it gave it 5 stars.
Excellent.
Yeah.
IMDb gave it an 8.3 out of 10.
Okay.
Now, this was directed by Kate Herron.
Who I'm not familiar with by name.
I am not either.
Okay.
I am not either, but, she did a damn good job. This was filmed in Atlanta, Georgia, and this is also, 2020 was the year that Hiddleston pretty much lived in Atlanta.
Yes.
So 2 years before I found out that he had lived in Atlanta, which sucks because it's not very far from me.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know he was there until, of course, after he had already come and gone. They began filming February 2020, but they had to halt in March due to COVID. Resumed in September and completed filming in December.
That COVID, like, that was like a thing. Bothered all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's still a thing.
Yeah.
And a few things about, this is the first, and it's not in this episode, so I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but Loki is the first openly bisexual character in the first major bisexual character in the MCU.
Right.
Now, Loki is also gender fluid.
Yes.
Which a lot of people, you don't see it in the series. Yeah, no. And I haven't seen it in any of the Marvel movies themselves.
No, but definitely in the comics. Yeah.
But yeah, in the comics, certainly you see it quite often. But Loki is gender fluid, being both male and female, as well as neither.
Right.
So figure that one out.
I guess he could be both.
Like I said, he is both male and female.
I mean,
female.
You know, at the same time.
Oh, I'm sure he probably could. He's a shapeshifter as well. Yeah. But he's gender fluid as well as being bisexual. Not preferring one above the other.
Right.
So.
So this time variance authority.
Right.
They bring in here. That's from the comics. They were introduced back in the like early 90s.
Kind of as a parody of the bureaucracy and red tape, right?
Yeah. So Walter Simonson was doing the Fantastic Four at the time. And Simonson, who was most famous for having done a long run on Thor in the 80s.
Okay.
But he had moved over to the Fantastic Four by this time. And one of the things he did was establish that the Fantastic Four were in trouble because of their frequent, you know, trips through time. And they
right.
introduced the Time Variance Authority, whose job was to keep things straight. And right. yeah, they were definitely a parody of bureaucracy and red tape, and also a parody of Judge Dredd. Because their agents who went out, you know, and hunted people down were designed to kind of look like Judge Dredd.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, and be kind of a parody of him. The character of Ravonna has been around since the 1960s.
Okay.
She was introduced really early on in Kang the Conqueror's storyline.
Kang ends up being
yeah, the guy kind of in charge of all of this.
Right.
Although he's portrayed very differently in the show than he was in the comics.
Well,
but it's just a variant.
It's a variant.
Right. But Ravonna in the comics was always Kang's love interest. And in the 60s, when Stan Lee created her, she was very much your typical love interest, where she just kind of fainted a lot and that kind of stuff.
Yes, definitely not the Ravonna we
right.
know.
And the Ravonna nowadays in the comics, she's always like a warrior. And that's one of the things that Kang responds to, because he's a warrior also.
Well, of course.
And but yeah, the Ravonna in the TV show is nothing like the Ravonna in the comics. And I was wondering, at least would they reveal that she had like a romance with Kang, but they didn't.
Of course not.
So
no.
I don't know.
It kind of stands to reason the way she acts.
Yeah, I mean, it would explain a lot of her actions.
It certainly would.
They just didn't really establish it, you know.
Right. Well, maybe that'll happen in the next season. Let's see. Let's see what happens.
Now, I liked Mobius a lot. He was I liked his chemistry. What's it, Luke Owen? Luke Wilson?
No, Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. I always get, I know, I can tell them apart, but their names always get confused, which one is Luke and which one is Owen.
Yes, it's Owen Wilson.
Okay.
Now the
really? I thought this was Luke.
No, that is Owen.
Okay. Okay.
No, that is Owen. If you must, if it'll make you feel better, look it up.
Okay, all right. All right. I mean, I believe you, but I'm just like, I always get the names mixed up.
But
I like his chemistry with Hiddleston.
Yeah, they do have a good chemistry, and it gets better throughout the series. Now, in this first episode, though, it seems like everyone is talking down to Loki. And that really, it really does. It irritates me badly. Right. And I get where they're coming from, and I get why they're talking to him like they do, but it still irritates me. He's a god. He deserves respect.
Well, you know, I was kind of thinking that about just the way they kind of manhandle him physically in the episode. And I understand, again, like you were saying, I kind of understand why and how, but
it just doesn't seem right.
It's just shocking that they would be that powerful, because he is one of the most powerful figures in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
With his magic and everything
He cannot use his magic anymore. Magic is gone. There is no magic in the TVA.
And they explain it. Right. It's just still disturbing.
Yeah, my little sparrow here is upset because I'm leaning against her her cushion. She has one particular cushion on the couch that she likes to curl up on, and I'm pushing it out of place, and she's not happy with me.
Well, I think she just wants to be near you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but I also tried to find out if the one scene where you see outside the windows, you actually see the city.
Yeah.
Of the TVA. And I tried to find out if Lucas had anything to do with the creation of the city. Because it does look something quite a bit like something you'd see in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Especially the more recent movies and series. Yeah. I could not find any connection that was written down or, you know, publicized. Yeah. So, I don't know. But it does look very Star Wars-esque.
It looks a lot like something you'd see in the prequels.
Yes.
You weren't referring to the prequels. It's recent films, were you?
Oh, shut up.
Because that's like 20-something years ago.
Okay, like I said, shut up.
Okay.
I'm old. Leave me alone.
But yeah, when you said that, I was like, okay.
Okay, more recent, as in more recent than the originals.
Yes. Well, that's to me, if you say 20 years ago, I think you're saying 1980.
Exactly.
And I don't know. And it's not just me. I think everyone of my
generation
is like that. And I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think because so much of our lives was dedicated to what's life going to be like in 2000.
Oh, yeah, and now it's 2022, and yeah, we're like, and it's nothing.
I still don't have flying cars.
The biggest change we've got is a cell phone.
Yeah.
And computers you can hold in your hand.
Yeah, we all wear masks now, I guess. But that's not fun.
Yeah. Depending on your mask, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, the thing is, you know, back in the 80s, we all wore masks, too. They just weren't visible.
True. Well, I guess this is the last thing I'll say about this topic. I guess, though, really, it doesn't look the way we pictured, but really it is kind of amazing. I mean, I have next to me a handheld computer that is much more powerful than any desktop I ever dreamed of.
Yeah, my mother's very first 25 years desktop ago. She got, it was top of the line.
Oh, yeah.
It was the elite. It was the best you could get at the time. And it had 3 meg of memory.
My first computer was...
And now you've got what?
Well, this right here is like gigs. I mean, it's...
And
you know, but they have terabytes.
Your son has one with a terabyte of memory. Yeah, this had 3 meg.
Yeah, his laptop has a terabyte, and that wasn't enough for some of his games that he needs.
Oh, good Lord.
And so I had to buy him an external drive that has 3 terabytes.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you know, back in the day, our games had, you know, if they were 1 meg, they were, like, very intense, very large.
Well, and the hilarious thing is he loves those kind of retro games. And so, you know, he's, like, got this, you know, kick-ass machine, and he's playing, you know, things
Starcraft
that look like...
Diablo.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's a 16-bit game, you know.
Right.
It's like, whatever. But anyway.
All right, back to the show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there are several really good...
This
really
is how when people say, how do you talk for an hour about this every week? Well, it's because 40 minutes of it is nothing to do with the topic. Anyway.
But there are several very good scenes. Like when when he's describing the reason why he wanted to take over Earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he flat says, I would have made it easy for them.
Right.
You know, the worst lie you've ever been told is, you know, is freedom.
Which goes back to, I mean, you love that part of the Avengers film.
I do,
when he basically
and
did that.
I thoroughly, that's the one thing I absolutely believe Loki got right. Freedom of choice is the worst possible thing human beings could ever have, because they always make the wrong ones, and that's one thing that he points out. you know, there's always a path in the road, and the wrong path is, there's always a fork in the road, and the wrong path is always taken.
Well, I think that's a case of, you know, the grass is always greener. So no matter what choice you take, you're always going to be like, you know, it probably would have been better if I'd done the other one.
And there's always going to be, you know, regret and
right.
guilt and all of that, which is what one of the things that he does point out. Mm-hmm. But I still have to agree with him on that one. You know, things would be much simpler, if nothing else.
Right.
Should the major choices be taken away? Not saying that I think... You know, we don't deserve freedom of choice. I'm not saying that.
Right, yeah.
I'm just saying that he is right in saying that things would be much simpler and much easier.
Yeah.
Maybe things would not be as good, but they certainly would be simpler and easier.
Yeah.
Without having to make those choices.
My favorite part of the first episode is the whole processing thing. I love when he has to sign, you know, signs on this show everything that he's ever said.
This is everything you've ever said.
And then he's like, what? And they have to print out another page, and it says, what?
Sign this, too.
And then he's like, this is ridiculous. Absurd. Yeah, this is absurd. They have to print out another page.
Right.
I loved that.
Yeah.
And I loved when there's like a little person. I think that's the correct term these days. You know, there's a
the little guy talking about,
right, there's a little guy who's
verify that you're not a
robot
that,
right?
You were born a synthetic,
yeah.
That you were born a something
being. I love the whole conversation when he's like, are there that many people who don't know that they're
robots,
a robot, you know? And wait a minute, what if I am a robot and I don't know it, you know? I just thought that was hilarious
from the inside out.
yeah which reminds me, somebody on Facebook one time said, how do you know that you're not a robot? And my answer was, you know, I've taken lots of are you not a robot tests on the computer.
Right.
Because every time you have to do anything, they're like, you know, please verify that you're not a robot.
Right.
Check, you know?
I am not a
and
robot.
And then it's like, you know, I pick the three pictures with streetlights.
Yeah.
And I'm never a robot. I pass every time.
So now you have a new answer for that. How do you know you're not a robot? Well, I went through the machine and I didn't melt, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go.
I went and saw the time variance authority and went through the machine, so I'm
yeah. Good. I will say, the first episode, to me, it's got this weird kind of dichotomy, though, because there's parts that are silly.
Oh, yes.
That are really silly. And then there's parts that are, like, pretty damn serious.
Yeah, when he, after he escapes, well, he doesn't really escape.
Yeah.
Mobius leaves him in the room to go
right.
talk to Ravonna. And, of course... He takes that to try to escape, but the thing is you can't escape without a temp hat.
Right.
You can't get out of the Time Variance Authority area without the temp hat. Of course, he doesn't know this yet.
Mm-hmm.
But he tries to escape, and then he threatens Casey with a fish. And
but yeah, he gets to see all of his failures.
But then he goes, well, it's not just that. He sees himself die in Thor's arms.
Right.
As well. And, you know, the impact of that. And, I mean, you can see, because it doesn't show the screen, it shows his face when you hear the snap of bone.
Right, yeah.
And that's just, that kills me. I have to rub my neck. That's just, oh.
It killed him, too.
Don't make it hit you.
Oh, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, you can see his face when his neck snaps.
Right.
In Thanos' hands. And he just dies in Thor's arms, and it's just, it's incredibly just poignant.
I love the TVA, like, training videos and stuff, though.
Oh, you don't get to those till...
Well, there was one in this one where they were explaining, you know, what is a...
That's not the training videos, though.
Well, yeah, but, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, though.
Yeah.
It's like the public service announcement videos.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love those. I love the whole aesthetic of that, which is, like, very 1950s... Americana,
yeah,
you know, corporate. That's kind of cool, and I love the
propaganda.
Yeah, and I love the weird technology things going on.
Yeah, you've
you know,
because
it's so high
tech. Technology is very high
but
tech,
yeah.
but then
like the printer, the paper that he was printing out,
yeah.
You could see it was like
dot matrix.
Yeah, it had the little stuff on the side you would have to tear off, which young people probably don't know what
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah, it's a dot matrix printer. And like the little TV
oh,
monitor
yeah.
thing is like circa 1950s.
Yep.
a lot of the computers that you see on the desks and stuff are very old school.
Yeah.
Which
I like that retro futuristic thing. Again, that's how we expect the future to be.
You've got flying cars and
yeah, all the stuff I don't have.
Yeah, all the stuff. Well, maybe you ought to go apply to the TVA. You know, do something really crazy so that you become a variant. And
Well, and I don't want to be a variant because we find out later on.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just working for the TVA, I know they talk about all the paperwork and stuff, but that seems like it'd be awesome. Think about all the times and places you could go.
Well, if you were an agent.
Yeah, well, that's what I would want to be.
Well, right, but
yeah. I wouldn't want to be a pencil pusher. That'd be a waste of my talent.
I see. Yeah. But yeah, the mix of futuristic and old school is just, it is incredible. I do enjoy it.
Now, you had something interesting to say to me before we started recording that I had never thought about. You know, matter of fact, I never really paid that much attention to it. The way the Loki logo, when it's coming on,
the way it continually changes. The reason that the Loki logo, the letters switch, that is actually a nod of the head to Loki's ever-changing nature.
Right.
To the fact that you can't pin him down. You know, he is not just one thing. You know, he's got all these different facets and sides and, you know, just constantly changing. And, you know, his attitude changes from one minute to the next, depending on circumstance. So, but that's the reason for the ever-changing logo.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's cool. When you mentioned it, I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it did change. But I never really thought about it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I love the closing credits on each one, too. The music and the, you know, it's just, I don't know.
I did not note who did the music, but I did run across that. I can look it up real quick if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, I like the music, but yeah. See, and the other things that I really liked about this first episode, it was fun because most of the series, we don't get to see him in his classic Loki regalia. So it was nice that we get to see him, at least in the outfit, briefly at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, then leads to...
Although that scene is quite striking.
Yeah, doesn't he say something about that was Asgardian leather?
This is fine Asgardian leather. Well, that fine Asgardian leather just got freaking disintegrated. And left him in all his glory.
Asgardian leather is probably really nice. Not as nice as Corinthian leather.
I think Asgardian leather is probably better.
I don't know.
Well, it depends, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the scene where he's actually stripped from top to bottom was just... And then, of course, he falls through the floor and you're expecting to see him naked on the other side. No, we don't get that, no.
No, well, it is on Disney Plus.
Yeah, but a freaking jumpsuit? Come on, man.
Yeah. But I did like seeing him in the Loki outfit briefly, and I liked seeing, that scene from Avengers with the added stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I liked seeing that again. I thought that was a really fun way to start things off, and definitely made it feel like a continuation of, you know, from that point in the film. So yeah, I liked that a lot. The Mobius and Ravonna relationship is
interesting.
I mean, you definitely get the feeling that he's kind of crushing on her
a little bit.
I was never sure how much he really liked her or if he was just kind of flirting with her to try and, you know, kind of maintain what he was trying to do. I always got the feeling he liked her more than she liked him. But she does let him get away with more than I think she would let other agents get away with.
That she does, most
so
definitely.
She must have a soft spot for him. But yeah. Sorry, I had to drink a sip of water.
Natalie Holt did the music.
Okay.
Ravonna-Mobius relationship, and, you know, several times they, you see them, you know, they'll have a drink together, they'll, Yeah, he said it. And she does let him get away with quite a bit more than... But, as we all know, toward the end, her job is worth more than her friends.
Right.
Which kind of irritates me. Yeah. I'm one of those, you know, your friends are everything.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a ride or die kind of girl, you know.
I kind of see where she's coming from later on. Again, well, this is getting into stuff from, you know, later in the episode series, but, you know, her feeling like, you know, yeah, I care about you, but this is like,
but even, this is all okay, reality. We're getting way past this episode, but
right.
Even when it's proven that what she is defending is bullshit, that it's not real, and that it never was.
Well, but
even then,
it kind of was.
No, it was not.
Because Kang's ultimate purpose was to prevent the rising of more dangerous forms of him.
But she knows she's spouting lies, and she continues to spout them. She knows what she's saying is untrue. It's been proven that it's untrue, and she still holds tight to it. And that is just being blunt.
Although, again, to play devil's advocate, when somebody finds out that their entire existence is a lie, for some people, they can't handle that.
Well, and at the same time, not only is their entire existence a lie, they are
perpetuating.
Perpetuating that lie.
Yeah.
To everyone else, when they find out that the agents are not created by the TVA. Right. As they have always been told. You know, that is a big...
Well, I mean, just think about, you know, when people who have certain beliefs, you know, when you show them scientifically that's impossible, they hold on to that belief.
Well, yeah.
And so even when you show her, look, it's all a lie, she might still say, I still choose to believe.
Well, yeah, like a certain religion's origin... story is actually the story of Horus, which was created many, many thousands of years before the origin story.
Well, but that particular religion made a whole religion out of stealing things from other religions. So,
but God, if you point that out,
yeah.
Oh no! Oh my God! Sacrilege! You're going to hell. Well, personally, I don't believe there is such a place. So
right, but that again, that kind of proves what I was saying, though.
Exactly.
You show her, look, this was this, and she's like,
yeah, you weren't created, you were stolen, and she doesn't care. Yeah. Me, I would be wanting to know where I came from. I would be wanting to dig into that and see, okay,
yeah,
you know what's up, but.
Yeah, because Mobius, he has that fantasy of like getting
his jet ski.
His jet ski, yeah. And when he comes to the realization about what's really going on, and he's like, you know, I wonder if I ever really did have a jet ski,
or if that was one of the things that he wanted.
Right. Yeah. Right. So,
but yeah, the way they talk and the relationship between Loki and Mobius gets better throughout the series, but in that very first episode, just the whole superiority that Mobius is showing.
Yeah.
You know, that Loki is essentially nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and the realization that Loki was, his essential purpose is to make other people better.
Yeah, because there's that line you mentioned when we were watching it, that how much you liked it. Where he says, you know, this is not how my story is supposed to end.
He says, this is, you will not dictate how my story ends.
Right.
And she says, it's not your story, Mr. Lofgren. It never was.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, the notion that, you know, his reason for existence is to make other people better.
To make other people the best version of themselves, to take a phrase from the series.
It kind of reminds me of, Douglas Adams, who of course wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, also wrote the Dirk Gently series. And I remember that in one of those books, there's this guy who hated his life because it rained constantly. Everywhere he went, it rained. I mean, his whole, every day it would rain on him. No matter where he went, he would go to like the desert, it would fucking rain. And he hated his life. He thought God hated him. And he never really realized that he was the god of rain.
Ah.
And this was the clouds' way of showing how much they loved him.
Aw.
And so they were constantly showering him with their love.
And he never realized
it.
Well, the thing about realizing that you are only there to push people to be better means that you are forever stuck in a secondary role. You are never the star. You are never the master. You're stuck in that secondary role to push others to be better, and that's something that Loki is not willing to accept just
yet. But I kind of think, and again, this is kind of talking about the series as a whole, I think that's the role he serves in this whole series. I think that's what he's doing for Sylvie and for Mobius.
However, Sylvie does not end up being the best version of herself. She
not
ends up
yet.
Being the worst.
Not yet.
So we're hoping in season two that she has that redemption arc that you see for Loki in the series.
Right.
Now, we're not talking about Sylvie just yet because she is not introduced in this episode.
Yeah. I know you told me before we started we couldn't say her name, but I already said it.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, and you know, we've discussed how we would like Sylvie to have looked a little bit more Loki-ish.
Yeah. Although I like her a lot.
However, if you later on in the series, and of course we're doing this again, you see her as a dark-haired child.
Yeah.
So of course, Miss Clairol is all about being born blonde. Right. So, you know,
I would we see Loki naked briefly in this one, you know.
Yes.
And you mentioned, he's naked except for the collar.
Right? And he seems very comfortable that way.
Right. And I would say, I think Loki is a sub.
And this is also the episode where he assumes the position.
Yes. All right, so Loki is not only a sub, but I would say he's a specific type of sub.
Uh-oh.
He is the bratty sub. He's the one who knows what you want him to do.
And refuses to do it.
And he's going to try and get away out of doing it.
He's
going to
push.
So then you have to punish him with your hammer or whatever.
We're not doing the Thorky thing. No. That's
Thorky?
Disgusting.
Is that what it's called? Thorky?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't
Thor
know.
Thor and Loki.
Yeah, yeah. I knew there was like all these people who paired them, but I didn't know it was
no,
called Thorky.
No, we are not shipping Thor and Loki. That's disgusting. They are brothers. Come
well,
on.
Well, you know. Not by blood.
Does not matter. They were raised brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not doing that, even though I do have some pictures. But DeviantArt, guys. DeviantArt.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I mean, I could see Loki getting stuck in, like, the dryer, you know, and saying, hey, brother, can you help me get out? And
no, we are not doing the dryer thing. What is your obsession with the dryer?
It's not my thing. It's I have heard from people who go to sites like Pornhub, it's just a popular scenario for the stepbrother, stepsister thing.
Of course, your little Christian ass would never be caught.
No.
Pornhub.
No. Well, I definitely would. I'm not into the stepbrother, stepsister thing, so I wouldn't be into that anyway. But
I'm talking about Pornhub.
Yeah. Now, the hub, I have been there before,
little,
I guess.
Good little church-going boy that you are. Yeah,
I've accidentally ended up there.
Uh-huh.
Following links and stuff.
Oh,
and then it's like, I think I have the wrong version of the Avengers. that kind of stuff.
That's actually a good one.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to...
That's something we'll need to review someday. Is like,
oh,
you know,
God, no, we are not reviewing porn.
Loki
on this.
Smut.
We are not reviewing porn on this website, on this podcast. Not happening.
I listened to a Spider-Man podcast, and one time when the Spider-Man porn came out.
Yes.
Did an episode where one member of the thing watched it and then reviewed it. And he didn't review the sex. He was reviewing it, for how accurate was it for Spider-Man.
All I gotta
say
is Tom Holland, that is one good-looking young man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see him doing porn. I definitely could see him doing porn.
I don't know. He looks too innocent.
That's exactly why he'd be great doing porn.
Well, great, but I can't see him doing it, yeah.
I could.
Okay. All right.
Oh, we have gone way, way past episode one here.
Yeah.
We will be reviewing each one of the episodes singly, which means we'll talk about the episode briefly and the whole series quite often.
All right.
But, you know, we will be doing that. What where are we at in on time?
We're at 40 minutes.
Okay, so we do still have some time. The podcast is picking up speed. We are going to say thank you to all of you out there that are listening to us.
Yeah, lately our stats have been booming. So
absolutely.
That's really good.
And it's thanks to you guys. We appreciate it. Stop by the website. Stop by and see the blog. We've got I've got pictures up now, and my tattoo will be done tomorrow.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood.
We've thought this before.
If
but,
my artist does not get flaky again.
To go to the website, remember it's depheadshiddlestoners.com.
Or you can go to barryreese.net.
And just click on Depheads and Diddlestoners, yeah.
But yeah, I've got pictures up of my my Edward Scissorhands tattoo. I've got the picture of the drawing Mitch Ballard did for me. That one's up.
Yep.
And there are, you know, there's several more. So hopefully tomorrow or Friday I'll be posting pictures of my finished Loki. Fingers crossed. So we're going to be doing that. And I have not been posting a whole lot on the blog. I have not been feeling well. So that's coming, I promise. I'm not forgetting about it, and I'm not forgetting about y'all. I've just been under the weather a bit. So
yeah. Although, I mean, I think, you know, to be fair, I think you posted,
I haven't posted any this week.
You posted twice this month.
I haven't posted any this week. It's just I've not.
Three times this month.
Three times in March already?
Well, one of them I posted. It was the podcast. You posted twice. So
yeah. And once again, we want to say congratulations to Johnny for getting the Medal of Honor from the Serbian government. Mm-hmm. And next week we are doing which album?
So I figured we would do the first Hollywood Vampires album.
Okay.
So
is that the one that we saw the concert of?
No, because that would have been the second one because they did Heroes.
Right. And Heroes Johnny Depp does an amazing version of Heroes. If you're not paying attention, you would think it was David Bowie. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely at times he does get that tone and everything.
He does.
Yeah.
It sounds great. But yeah, so we'll be doing
the
Hollywood
first album.
Vampires.
Yep. Hollywood Vampires. And what I think we'll do is, go track by track.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of talk about, do you like this song? What do you not like? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, talk about the original versus the Hollywood Vampires version.
Right.
And
there are a couple of original songs on the album.
Right.
But mostly it's covers.
Mostly it is. But that's fine. These guys do an amazing job with it. I would love to see them come tour the States, which is something they have not done. They tour in the UK quite often. They do not tour the US. They have not toured the US. Ever.
Although they have played in L.A.
In L.A.,
times.
Yes. But unfortunately, that's on the opposite coast.
Right.
And as much as I love them, there's no way I'm flying to L.A. to see them play. Especially if I'm going to be stuck in a stadium with, you know, 10,000 other people.
All right. So the album we're doing is actually called Hollywood Vampires.
Okay.
And they got together in 2012. But 2015 was when the album comes out.
Right.
Came out. And then they had a second album, Rise, like 4 years later.
Okay. So that was, what, 2019?
Yes.
Some of the tracks on the first album?
Let's look. I've got it here. So there are, if we do the deluxe edition.
Well, of course we will.
There's 17 tracks.
Oh, wow. Maybe we won't. We may not have time for all that.
Yeah. If we do just the regular, it's 14 tracks.
Might as well do all 17 then. That's only three more.
There are several, you know, it starts off with an original track. But some of the covers are My Generation, Whole Lot of Love, Break On Through to the Other Side.
Nice.
Come and Get It.
Something I found kind of strange.
And
is,
School's Out, Another Brick in the Wall.
School's Out and Another Brick in the Wall.
Yeah, they put it together.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say very, very few of their songs. Alice Cooper is one of the members of the band, but I think they've only done two or three Alice Cooper covers.
Yeah, Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, I'm sure he'd be like, "Well, why would I?
Why would I want to cover my own?"
Yeah,
you know. But yeah, hey, milk it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But if we do the 17-track version, there's 4 original songs on it.
Nice.
And then the other 13 are covers.
Very good. All right. Well, that's what we will be doing, and I think we're going to cut this one a little short, guys. I am feeling very poor, so yeah. I do apologize for that, and apologize for cutting it a little short.
We will be back in 7 days' time.
We'll be back in 7 days, and keep an eye on that blog. We'll see. We'll try to keep you updated with what's going on. Depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com. Send us a line. Contact us through the blog. Contact us through the site. You know, just keep up with us. We'll keep up with you.
Yep.
Have a great time.
See you guys later.
Bye.